The Movie Show.
You probably think this world is a dream come true, but you're wrong.
On KSL News Radio.
It's a movie show digital extra. Here on The Movie Show, sometimes we have interviews or segments that we really wanted to do on our live show, but we just don't have enough time in a two-hour show with all the other things that we need to cover. But we want to give it the proper due. And one of the things that's always been important to The Movie Show is promoting local movie-making events or things that help promote the movie industry in Utah. Because, I mean, if it wasn't for the movies, where would The Movie Show be? I'm Andy Farnsworth. And joining me now to talk about the Tumbleweeds Film Festival for Kids. This is something we've talked about on the live show when we still had 3 hours, and that's where we'd normally do it. But now we're joined by Julie Gale, who is the Utah Film Center Education Director and also the festival director for the Tumbleweeds Film Festival. Julie, welcome to The Movie Show Digital Extra.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Well, I'm excited to hear a little bit more about the film festival. Utah has several film festivals, the most notable of which is Sundance, but there's Slam Dance. And then there's like another one that happens around the same time as Slam Dance. And then, of course, the Zion's Independent Film Festival. But as far as I know, this is the only film festival aimed at kids.
You are exactly right. The Tumbleweeds Film Festival, this is actually its 13th year it has been in existence in Utah. And you want to think of it as like Sundance, but for kids. So if you go to Sundance as an adult, there are fun workshops, there are cool talks and special guests, and of course the movies. And we have that, except it's for kids ages 2 to 12, or even 2 to 14. And what you can expect is that it's going to have a collection of amazing films from around the world, nothing you can see on any kind of streaming services. And you're also going to have some really cool guests that are from Utah and grew up here in Utah and are working in the film industry to share their experience about being a movie maker or a movie creator or working in the industry. And then we also focus it on the idea that kids may actually want to make films and have film content. So there's also a kids film competition that's involved in the festival from kids all over the state. And we also have workshops where kids can expand that craft of filmmaking, all wrapped into one day.
Well, if you think about it, even a generation, even my generation, to make a movie was a production.
Yes.
Like, first of all, you had to have a camera.
Yes.
That could record onto cassette tape, because you probably didn't have one that recorded onto film, because if you did have one that recorded onto actual film, it didn't have any sound because it was an 8mm. So to get all of those things, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen The Fablemans, but to see how Steven Spielberg had to make movies as a kid, it was amazing to see. And, you know, props to him. But kids today walk around with a virtual movie studio in their pocket. Whether they use that feature or not, they have it.
That is correct. And a lot of kids are filming content these days, way more than
so much.
your generation and my generation, where we did have a lot more technological barriers. And even though they're filming a lot more content, they may not know all of the things like how to hold the camera properly, or maybe how do I record really good sound so everybody hears the cool dialogue that I wrote for my movie. And so that's really where
Or write some dialogue so it sounds even better and sharper.
Exactly. And so that's why we love our workshops at the festival, because it gives kids the opportunity to work with people who actually do this as a job, and it helps them enhance their stories that they can tell. And that's also the big feature of the special guests. We have the original cast of Studio C coming to talk about how they are, they're going to do a great big guest panel, and they're going to talk about how they've been working together and using improvisation and comedy improv to write a whole script for that film they recently did, Go West.
Which I thought was very funny.
Yes, it was extremely funny. And we also have special effects artists.
Well, hang on. Actually, I have it broken down.
Oh.
So that we can go into greater detail.
Sure.
You're doing
let's
a great
do
job
it.
Teasing ahead. But let's go basic, first of all.
Sure.
The festival theme this year, Finding Joy Together. What does that, why did you pick that theme?
Well, we always try to do this in something of an organic fashion, because usually what we start doing is watching a ton of movies. Like,
makes sense
nine
for
months,
a film festival.
Yeah, exactly. It's the best part of the job. 9 months to a year before the film festival, we're requesting a lot of screeners. We're watching tons of movies. Rather than going, this is our theme and go find films that are going to work with that, we look at what were the best films that rose to the surface that we decided we wanted to pick and share with the community and with the young audiences.
Oh,
and once we do that, we go, what's the kind of the connecting thread between all of these? And that's why we picked Finding Joy Together, because so many of the films that we have at the festival this year, they feature kids doing extraordinary things, but having to rely on their friends, their family, maybe even their community to make great things happen. And so that's something that we thought, you know, there's so much of togetherness in these films, whether it's in a friendship, family, or a community sense, that it just seemed like the right theme based on the films that we have featured at the festival. And we also thought, you know what, Finding Joy Together is something that we can always have more of.
That's an interesting angle. Instead of saying our theme is Finding Joy Together, make sure your submissions somehow fit into that.
Yes.
You saw, okay, these are the ones we like. What's the theme? I actually think that's a pretty clever way to do it.
Yeah, it's actually a lot of fun. And it's always surprising to me how sometimes you'll just have, like last year, ours was about nature. There were just so many films about getting out in nature and reconnecting with nature. So that was more of the focus of our film festival. But this year, it's so much about people just rallying together to make good stuff happen. And it's so and a lot of fun along the way in a lot of these films, which is why I enjoyed so much finding these films for the festival with my team.
So I get so excited to talk about the festival that sometimes I forget basic details like what's the date and yes. Where is it located? Because I'm sure that right now that's what people would love to know. So
yes.
Where can you go and when is it?
So the Tumbleweeds Film Festival will be open to the public on Saturday, April 20th. That will be at the Viridian Event Center, which is connected to the West Jordan Library in West Jordan.
Right behind City Hall, right off Redwood Road.
Yep,
about 7800 South, right in that main intersection.
Yep, and it's accessible to tracks. So if you're coming
from
south in the valley or north in Salt Lake, you can just hop on the Red Line, get off at West Jordan City Center. It's a quick little block walk, and you're there. So And
Front Runner will get you there from as far south as Provo and as far north as Ogden.
That's correct. And because we have a special partnership with UTA, if you just show them your tickets to Tumbleweeds, you don't have to pay for the ride. So that's also another great benefit of that as well. And it will run from roughly about 9 a.m. to our last screening will be at about 6:45 that evening. And if you go to tumbleweedskids.org, you can see our full schedule. You can see all the films that we're featuring, all the workshops. One quick thing that's really important to note, that most of the festival is free. However, we do recommend that you reserve a ticket for a film that you want to see or a special guest panel that you want to see, even if it's free, because just because it's free doesn't mean that it's open like with unlimited seats. So we do recommend that people reserve their ticket so they have a guaranteed seat when they want to go see a film or see a special guest.
But then the bonus is, then you can take public transit for free to get there.
Exactly. It's a great way to...
Wow, so it's like you're paying them to come to the festival.
A little
if
bit.
If you think about it, you get a free ticket, then you get to ride the tracks for free,
mm-hmm.
which would have cost you, $5.
Yep.
And you've saved on gas.
Yep.
You rode public transit for free, and you had an awesome day out in West Jordan at the film festival. And for what it's worth, there's restaurants nearby if you need to go get some food, and they're
close.
All walking distance.
Yes,
very
close.
So it's an easy thing to make a day of.
Absolutely. And what makes it even easier is that there's always something going on, like continuously. So maybe you've got littler kids and they want to go hop into a movie because maybe that movie's more interesting to them. But it's not interesting to maybe your older children. And then maybe they could go take a workshop at the same time that you're watching a film with maybe the younger children in your family. So it's a great way to have like the entire family, regardless of the age spread of the kids you have in your family, to all come and find something really fun that they could do throughout the day.
I'm just going to go on record right now and say, if your kid has a smartphone, then I think you should come to the festival so
yes.
that you can, you know, give it another positive use, another
mm-hmm.
tool of positive use,
mm-hmm.
Because there's already 100 other things. And honestly, if you don't teach them something, they're going to pick up some other way to use it. And as somebody, and my daughters give me grief about this because, Dad, you take forever to take a picture. I'm like, yeah, because you know what? First of all, I came from a time where you didn't just press the button and get 1,000 snaps.
Yes.
You know, you didn't have unlimited film in your camera, which they do with the storage cards. But I said, a lot of this is composition. Like,
yeah.
a picture is much better if you get what you want in the picture before you snap it than having to try to, you know what I should have done is I should have done this. Like, you don't have so many regrets. So that's
yep.
something we'll get to when we talk about some of the workshops. So let's do this.
Yeah.
We have to have a couple of breaks. So let's take a break here. And when we come back, I want to talk about it's a film festival. So we're going to learn about some of the films.
Yes.
Movie reviews and Hollywood news. The KSL Movie Show.
Sometimes it also includes festival news here in Utah, like we are right now. The Tumbleweeds Film Festival for Kids taking place April 20th, Saturday, April 20th at the Viridian Event Center in West Jordan. And I'm here with Julie Gale, the director of the film festival. So it's a film festival.
Yes.
So tell us about some of the films.
Oh, we're so excited about the films this year. Throughout the day, we're going to have four feature films and two collections of shorts. And these are all have different age appropriateness to it. Just keep in mind, the earlier the day, the younger the kid for the film in terms of
what it might
be suitable for. Yeah. And so some of the collections that we have of our shorts, one of them is called the Shorts Celebration. And what we always try to do with this is have a collection of short films that feature not only different styles of animation, but also animation that has vocals in it, doesn't have vocals. Maybe it's stop motion animation. Maybe it's computer animation. And then we also mix that with some live action films. And this year, we're really excited because last year was our first year to do the kids film competition where kids in Utah made short movies.
So it turns out there's some that already do know how to use their cameras.
Yes, yes, they do. And they're very shockingly good at it. And those filmmakers who won last year, their films are going to be featured also in the shorts collection. So you can see what are kids making and what good stories are they writing. And they have a variety of everything from comedy to almost like, you know, sci-fi, Marvel-esque type films that they're making. It's really fun. And then some of our feature-length films that we're really excited about are films that are from around the world. We have this really cool animated film called The Giants of La Mancha. And so it's based on the story, The Man of La Mancha. Yeah,
okay.
And the stories of Don Quixote. But it's all about kids, like, saving their village from, you know, from all of these different forces that they can't control. And they come together. And the animation is absolutely gorgeous in it. It's something
wow.
I've never seen before. And we also have some other great animated films like Rosa and the Stone Troll, which it almost looks like a moving, beautiful picture book. And it's so great for like toddler audiences because it has just gentle music and it moves at a nice, beautiful pace about this little fairy who has to kind of get out of her comfort zone and travel away from her home to be able to like save all the animals in Summerland. And it's really lovely. I think everyone's favorite film, though, in the that we've been watching is the last film of the night, which is Dancing Queen.
Okay.
Unique thing
based
about
on the ABBA song?
It is played in the movie.
Oh, okay. I would have been disappointed if it wasn't.
Yeah, I know. That'd be a little bit of a letdown. But it's about this girl, and she, they're starting a dance troupe at her school, and she knows nothing about dance. Like, she has two left feet, but she goes for it anyway because she kind of has a little bit of a crush on the person that's starting the...
What? Somebody did something because they had a crush on somebody?
Yes.
I can't imagine.
I know. And it's great because it's like that great little tween age of like 11, 12 when you start, you know, maybe having feelings for someone. And so she does it really because she has a crush on someone. But then along the way, she learns a great deal about herself that gives her not only confidence, but gets her out of her comfort zone. And it's just a delightful beautiful film, and it's so much fun. The only thing that's unique about it is not in English. It's from Norway.
But you got a Norwegian film submission?
Yes.
I love it. Is a filmmaker going to be here?
No, unfortunately, they cannot. But they've been
it's expensive to come from Norway.
It is. You know, we've got a great partnership with the Salt Lake County Library System, but we can't fly in Norwegian talent, unfortunately.
Makes sense.
But what's great about the film is that you might think, oh, I'm not going to go with my kids. They can barely read. The fun thing we do about these films is that, yes, we have subtitles, but if your kids are still young, or maybe you just don't even like to read subtitles and you're an adult, we have these listening devices. You just put them into your ear, and we have voice actors that narrate the film in English for you.
You have a dub.
Yeah, a dub. And so kids can put those on. They can understand everything that's going on. And I can attest, my still budding reading daughter, when I started working at Utah Film Center about 3 years ago, she was still learning how to read. She had a headset. She said that was totally a great experience. She had no issues understanding what was going on and following along in the film because someone was just sitting there talking into her ear personally and telling her what the words were. And so it's we only have two films that are like that. I do encourage, even if it's not in English, bring the kids along. It'll be fun because then they'll just have little people talking into their ear.
So it's film, let's see, tumbleweedskids.org is the website where
That's
you
right.
can check out the film listings
mm-hmm. yes,
and see the
list.
Times. Now, do any of them play more than once, for example? Because I know we're going to talk about mm-hmm. Workshops and we're going to talk about some of the guest presenters.
Yeah.
If you've got a movie you want to see and a guest presenter at the same time, are you going to probably just have to choose one or the other?
Unfortunately, yes, because, okay. you know, we're only there one day. However, we do try to stagger it a little bit. So, you know, if you're coming out of a workshop, you can pop into a special guest appearance or a film. But there are some times where you'll just have to make a choice.
Okay.
But there's definitely
life's
the way...
all about that.
Yeah. And so one thing that's really great, though, is that there's a good balance, if you look at the schedule at tumbleweedskids.org, of being able to have a balance of a workshop, a movie, and probably a special guest. It's never that, okay, I'm only in a workshop track, I'm only in a movie track, or I'm only in a special guest track. It's peppered throughout the day so you can be able to have a variety of opportunities as you're there.
So let's talk about some of the workshops. So I look
yes.
at it as you guys have a three-pronged thing to choose from. You've got the films at a film
yes.
festival, which makes perfect sense.
Absolutely.
But now you've got workshops. Now,
mm-hmm.
again, especially when we're talking about kids, now Sundance probably doesn't need a workshop. Because, I don't know, it's not aimed at kids.
Sure.
I know that Zion's Indie Film Festival had some workshops for different things, but
they
that
do.
Wasn't aimed at kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so having workshops for kids, as I was looking through the list of things, and these were some of that I wrote down, there might be more than this, but filmmaking, which is pretty broad, but when you're making, I mean, kids think, well, I just point the camera at the thing and I record it. Well, yeah, but... what if you did other things and it
yep.
could be even better?
Yep.
Camera use.
Mm-hmm.
Again, going beyond just the pointing of the camera
yep.
and things that go beyond it. Editing.
Yep.
Green screen. For me, granted, I learned a lot of these things much, much older. But editing where, like, okay, if you're going to edit this, you're going to shoot a whole bunch of things and then you decide what looks best.
Yep.
And as you go through, like, you know what would be really nice right here is if I... there was something happening, or I filmed this thing, and in my mind, it went faster than it went on the screen, and I need something else to look at instead of just this. And
yes.
all those things that you don't think of until you start doing it. Green screen, now that's something I never would have thought of because that wasn't a thing
mm-hmm.
outside of a weather studio when I was younger. So,
so
but
many
the kids, there's apps that work with this, and
mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot. Some of the kids probably already use green screen if they're content mm-hmm. creators or Twitch streamers on some of the things.
Yes.
Then you had, this is when I starred, writing.
Yes. That's really important.
It's so important. And we did an activity with the youth in my church group last year, 2 years ago. We decided we were going to make a Hallmark Christmas movie for our activity. So I spent... I spent a couple of hours the night before writing up the most obvious basic script, you know, all the cliches. And that was the point, was to have all the cliches.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we went to shoot it, they were like, well, can't I just say whatever? I'm like, yeah, sure, go ahead. And they were like, well, what should I say? I said, exactly.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so, you know, they didn't read the script, but I was like, just get to know what this is. And your story's so much better when you've already decided what it's going to be instead of trying to figure it out as you're shooting it. So I love that. And honestly, writing goes into so many different things,
mm-hmm.
so many different things. And then acting for cameras.
Yeah.
Interesting, because some of the kids may have been in stage productions
yes.
at the junior high or at their elementary school. And the difference when you're acting for camera and having to reproduce the same emotion or whatever as you get coverage in the different, again, as you're learning the filmmaking aspect,
mm-hmm.
these things that they probably never thought of.
Oh, it's so different. And yeah, you're exactly highlighting all of the different topics that we're covering, because the thing that we want with the workshops is that we want the kids to make thoughtful stories, because you're exactly right. You can turn on a camera, point and shoot anything. Any of us can do that. But does it have a good story with a clear beginning, middle, and end? Does it have...
There's a lot of kids who can do a good beginning and a good middle, but never quite figure out the end.
Exactly. And so that workshop, it's called How to Write a Movie. It gives kids the foundation for, like, these are the things that all movies have. Now, here's how you put your story into it to make sure that it tells a good story and breaks it down in a way that's really simple for young people to understand. And a lot of this is also foundations of what they're learning in school already about You know, who's the person's point of view and what is the theme and what messages are you trying to tell with your story? So this really helps kind of reinforce that, but it takes it to the level of, you know, a story in a book. Like if you're reading, for example, Harry Potter, reading the book is very different than reading a screenplay of a Harry Potter film. It has a different structure to it. It has a different format. And so we break down
Harry Potter's a great example.
Yeah.
I've actually used that with my own kids, and especially I think it was Order of the Phoenix in particular, where they had to turn a 900-page book into a two-hour movie.
I know, so much we had to take away.
And but it was interesting to talk with the kids because, you know, the first, they weren't the only ones, but the grumble of, oh, well, they left this out. Well, they left this out. I said, okay. Then we read the book, and I said, okay, now, with all that, how could they have put everything in? And they're like, yeah, I guess they couldn't have put it all in. I said, so now knowing that, how good of a job did they do of the things they did decide to keep in? And they're like, yeah, no, I, because when I saw the movie before I read the book, and I just remember thinking, this is kind of boring. Not much is happening. But then when I read the book and then watched it again, I was more impressed at how they managed to take the story and condense it into 2 hours. These are all things that I've discussed with my kids. I'm glad that these are the kinds.
And if you're a family that really loves movies, this is stuff that you've probably had conversations about before, especially if you've ever watched an adaptation of maybe a children's book, which we have tons of those, and television series that are being made from books. And so I think that this can be a really great tool to show that with these type of workshops. I think the fun thing about how to write a movie also, too, is that it reminds you that so much of when you read a book, like when you're reading Harry Potter, the author is just describing how these people look, what they're wearing, what the environment looks like, what the locations look like. And then films are so much more deeper in terms of not saying like deeper in terms of like quality between a book, but what's different about a book and a film script is that the film script has to show and be as visual as much as it is dialogue and words that are being spoken, because so much of what we learn in a movie is just by looking and seeing, and that has to help tell the story just as much as the dialogue does and the locations do. And so that's a really fun workshop to help kids like get into the language of how you write a movie. So then if they want to go off with their friends in the neighborhood in the summer and make a great film, and then please submit it next year to our film competition, we would, you know, it just helps them do it in a more thoughtful way. And then taking all the technology of a film, you've probably seen kids record things where they're just running around going, ah, screaming, and the camera's just jostling around everywhere. But if they were to just isolate it and focus on one specific thing, or have a really meaningful close-up, or, you know, have it have the camera be placed in a specific way and it creates suspense, or maybe it creates a heightened sense of emotion. Those are all the things that just by where you place your camera when you're filming can help tell your story even better. And that's where our cinematography, our particular cinematography workshop is just going to be really great for kids. And then there are some kids that want to be in front of the camera, like you mentioned with acting. And you're exactly right. Acting for the stage, when you have to project to an audience of maybe 200 some on theater on a stage without a microphone, the expression of your body is very different than the camera being right in front of your face and conveying emotion. And so we are really excited to offer our Acting for the Camera workshop again this year, because many kids want to perform. And so this gives them the opportunity to go, okay, how's performing a little bit different in a movie? And then we're actually using a film script that has kid actors in it to be able to give them that opportunity to try that out. And we actually film them during the workshop and then email it to their parents.
Oh, so wow. They
can go back and watch it later. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And one thing about all these workshops, and there's many, many more topics. If you have budding animators, you have kids that are constantly doodling all these different characters. We have a character design for animation workshop. We have stop motion animation workshops. If you have students who their primary language is not English but Spanish, we have an entire how to make a movie entirely in Spanish if they would feel more comfortable doing that as well.
Wow.
So if you know any Spanish-speaking family members that might want to do that, or families that you're that are in your community, it's a great opportunity to do that. But all of these workshops, the best thing about them is they cost extremely little money, $25 for an hour and a half with a professional in a small class size, no more than about 10 or 15 kids in each of any of these classes. So it's not this big lecture style where maybe you're not going to get some personalized attention. You're going to be able to work directly with teaching artists as well as professionals in the industry. And you're going to get to do it in an environment where they're working right alongside you to kind of go, okay, let's practice this. Let's move this a little bit. Oh, that looks great. Let's try this. So they're working with you in the moment to create, and it's very hands-on during the process. It's not we're going, let's do a big lecture about stop-motion animation. You're in the middle of, like,
taking single shots, moving it like an inch.
And moving it like a
millisecond. I just had to watch a horror movie about a stop-motion animation.
Whoa, yeah. And, you know, there are some kids, they will sit there and do that tedious moving a millisecond all day if you let them, because they just love that hyper focus. And so it's definitely something that if you have a young person in your life that is really, really interested in these types of things, these workshops can be so enriching for not only their own budding artistic skills, but it also will just give them a way to kind of give them more direction on how they can actually do things in a really fun and meaningful way when they tell their stories through film.
We're talking about the Tumbleweeds Film Festival for Kids in West Jordan on April 20th. Let's take one more break, and when we get back, Julie, for our final segment, we'll talk about some of the guest presentations you have coming. You've teased ahead a little bit already. Love to get some more details when we come back on this Movie Show Digital Extra, talking about the Tumbleweeds Film Festival for Kids.
The Movie Show. It is not a donut hole, but a smaller donut with its own hole. And our donut is not a hole at all. On KSL News Radio.
Speaking of horror movies and things that freaked me out, although that was from Knives Out, which wasn't a horror movie, but yeah. Okay, but here's one of the fun things about the Tumbleweeds Film Festival for Kids. Again, going on April 20th. At the Viridian Event Center, which is basically the West Jordan Library. If you don't know where Viridian is, first of all, it comes up really fast. V-I-R-I-D-I-A-N. When you type that into your Google Maps, There's only one. And if not, just type West Jordan Library and it'll take you to it. Your ticket will allow you to ride tracks for free to the event, which is great. Great value. And the only thing, if you're going to pay for anything, it's those workshops in which you pay $25 and you get small class size, hands-on instruction, not just lecture style, and maybe you learn something. So I think that's really, this sounds like great value and all the way around.
Yes. Well, I mean, we think about the idea of, you know, if you're bringing a family, I mean, we're making this. We are parents. We are people that have kids. We have kids that can, we consult with on what they want to see in terms of topics. So we really make this with families and children in mind, rather than theory about that. And
are we going to see the Gale kids there?
Oh, the Gale kids are going to be rolling around all over the place. No, my kids are much older now, so my eldest will be probably volunteering and ushering and ticket taking.
Oh, nice.
My 12-year-old, who is a mega fan of Studio C, is there. Special guest handler, which is really just asking them if they want water and sending
what's
them.
Really just, I'm glad my mom is helping put this film
together,
festival on.
Yeah.
No, that's
yeah, she's and then you might see her work in the concession stand or something like that. But yeah, we make it a family affair. And the great thing about this is that, you know, we do it with the idea of, you know, when I think about when I want to take my kids to go do something, cost is usually something that comes into mind, because things can get really expensive fast if you have a family. And so we always try to make this as affordable, as accessible, and we structure the whole day of the festival to where you could drop in and maybe just see a movie. Maybe you're there for a couple of things. You're there for half a day. You're there for the whole day. Regardless of how long you're going to be there, the different age groups that you have in your family, there's something for everybody at any given time. And there's really, that's why we structured it in this particular way.
Well, let's talk about the guest presentations, because it's these are actually free. This is the nice part.
Yes, we're very excited about these.
So we'll go for the big one last. That's okay. That's how you build up to things. See, kids storytelling.
Yeah. Yes, there we go.
But let's start with number one. You guys have audio, and I put these in the order that they're also taking place during the day.
Yep.
So audio illusion. Tell us about that. Creating powerful moments in unexpected ways.
Yes, we're very excited to have UVU's digital audio department there. And if you're not familiar with that program, they teach people about special effects, about sound production, sound recording technology, broadcasting. These are things kind of, you know, we're in a great building for all that. And so what this one is especially going to focus on is that when we're watching a movie, quite often, you know, if you see, for example, a tree snap, or you see a big thundercloud come by in the movie, you think, oh, they just filmed that live. They filmed that sound live. They just waited for a thunderstorm and started rolling cameras. Well, quite often you can't control those things when you're filming. And so what people do with, who are sound effects specialists or Foley artists, as they're called, after the movie's been filmed, they sit in a studio and they recreate those sounds. So like dogs walking on sidewalks, or they use quite often smashing of celery, or sitting there and they'll maybe like punch a piece of meat, you know, like a steak, when it's supposed to sound like somebody actually like running up a hill, you know, and you'll think, what? They're doing what? My favorite is that quite often they'll take paper clips and they'll tape them to the end of their fingers, and they'll do that to make rain like rain sounds. And it's very unexpected. Usually the things that you're hearing that made the sound effect are not the things that you think they are. And so that's why there's kind of a bit of an allusion to it. And we have some people from UVU's digital media department. They're going to come and they're going to like blow up vegetables and do all kinds of crazy stuff and let the kids do it as well to show this is actually how we make these sounds in movies. And we're hoping that kids, it'll inspire them when they make their films, that they can kind of, you know, it's almost going back to like old radio days when they were making special effects sounds to, you know, have people open doors and pour drinks and, you know, slam books and things like that, that they can actually add all those things to their films to enhance it. But it'll also make them, as they're watching maybe a Marvel film, wonder like, I wonder how they made that sound when, you know, this plane landed in the middle of town. And it's quite surprising the everyday household items that actually make those things happen. So that's one of the special guests that we're featuring.
I remember watching a clip from Stranger Things, and it had the subtitles turned on.
Yes.
And there was some creature that was making just some disgusting...
Yeah, it's gross.
And the subtitle was undulating moistly.
That's so gross.
And I heard the sound and I thought, like, I don't even really want to know how they made that sound. Because as you're watching it, your mind's like, oh, well, they just recorded that monster making that sound. Like, you're just sort of...
That's what the sound the monster
But then,
makes.
No, how actually did they make it?
Yeah,
for me, Star Wars has always been a big thing. So finding out how they made the laser sounds, the lightsaber sounds and all of those things was always interesting to me.
Yeah.
But some of the other things, like... I really did. When you talk about making it sound like rain, where it's the, I just thought, why didn't they just put a microphone and record rain? But
it just doesn't quite work that way, does
it? Not all rain sounds the same. Not all rain's the same intensity. Not all surfaces are the same. And that's the kind of stuff that you never think about until you think about.
Absolutely. And so that's what this is what that workshop's going to unpack.
That'll be a fun one.
It'll be a fun one. And it might kind of, you know, you might have your kids after watch, you know, go watch an action film after that. They might not even be paying attention to the movie. They might go, wonder when that blood dripped down and hit that piece of metal. Wonder how they made that sound.
I think I can guarantee that whatever they learn at this presentation, they will tell you 100 times over the next week.
They will tell you 100
Dad,
times.
Dad, did you know that in this movie, this is what made that sound? And that's actually kind of fun, too, because that means it's something that excited them and it stuck in their mind.
Totally, totally. And, you know, those are the fun movie magic pieces we want to unpack with kids, because I think when you kind of lift, like, pull behind the curtain and you get to see all those things that are involved, you not only see the, like, the vocations that are involved in that, there are thousands of different careers in film. And if you're someone who's like, you know what, I just want to, like, blow up vegetables and take corn and
Mom,
slide
I'm
it
doing
down.
A sound for the movie.
I'm doing sound
That's
for
why
the
I
movie.
Need to stick this firecracker in the carrot.
Yes, exactly. Or why is there sand all over my kitchen floor? I'm making the sound of the wind blowing through her hair. You know, just whatever. And you may have to accept there might be a joyful mess in your house, or you just say, nope, you have to do that on the back.
Joyful mess. I've never heard that term, but I love it. You must be a mom.
Yeah, I go, oh, look at this joyful mess. Now you better clean that up.
So your second guest presentation is called Storytelling Through Movie Production Design.
That's correct.
And who's your guest for this one?
This one's Mark Hoffling. You may not know Mark Hoffling by name, but you definitely know his work. If you have any High School Musical fans of any of those movies, if you've watched any of the Disney Channel films, mainly the Descendants series or the Zombie series, or his very first film he ever worked on was filmed here in Utah, was Con Air from 1997, then you know Mark Hoffling's work. Now, production design is creating the world and the environment that the characters are living in. So
when you're talking, now, I mean, for High School Musical, he went to East High.
Yeah.
But if you've seen the Descendants movies, and I have daughters, so I have seen the Descendants movies. The Descendants, all the evil people live on this weird island.
Yep.
That's all Mark Hoffling,
right? That's all Mark Hoffling, yeah. And production design has so many elements. I mean, think about decorating a room. You know, when you have your own room as a kid and you want to put the posters up that kind of express your personality and you want to, you know, have the kind of, you know, bed sheets that are like, look at me, I'm cool. I've got Buzz Lightyear bug, bed sheets. Maybe when you're second grade, that's cool. I don't know. And so quite often.
I won't tell that your older daughter probably still has the Buzz. No.
No. But she does have a lot of Star Wars in her room.
Oh, and I like her already.
She's a cool kid. Her favorite movie is Alien right now, and she's very excited it's being re-released in theaters. So, one thing that's really fun about production design is that we need people to create the world to help us understand what this world actually is. And especially with Mark Hoffling creating the Descendants series, not only does he have to create a completely mythical boarding school that all these kids, you know, go to school at, but he also has to decorate their rooms to give you a little bit of an extension of understanding those characters' personalities. And so what he's going to do is talk about how he's done that work, where did he start, but also the fact that he grew up in Utah and how that influenced him kind of going into the film industry, he'll also talk about. But he'll also kind of unpack how we can do this, whether we're just an amateur filmmaker, to enhance the films that we're making as well. There's also a participatory part, because if you registered for the workshop, then you can also submit your favorite designs from movies that you've seen, and he'll use it in his presentation. So it's really just looking at the whole world of films, how they're designed, how they're created, how he comes up with imaginary worlds, or even how does he make East High look uniquely like East High?
Yeah, not the East High that the kids
that
go
really
to,
do
but
go
the
to.
East High for
yeah,
East
for,
High in New Mexico.
Yes, East High in New Mexico. And so he has to really, you know, all of those things have to have careful thought and consideration and very important choices that are made. Because remember, movies are a watching activity as well as hearing the story as well. And so everything that we see in the movie helps us tell the story better.
Warning, parents, your kids may want to watch all the extras on the DVDs now as opposed to just the movie.
Yes, they will. And they might notice things where they go, oh my gosh, did you see how they had this particular poster in their room? I wonder if that means that they really like, you know, for example, if the kid has a bunch of safari animals in there, maybe they're an adventurous person. They want to go on an adventure. It's all those little details that are sprinkled throughout production design and creating the world and the environments of the film that once you take the time to notice it, you start to see so many other details that help you understand the story even better. And if you're a mega fan of these types of films, it's really fun to watch them multiple times and see new things that you maybe didn't see the first, second, or 17th time you've watched High School Musical 2.
I'm having an idea as we talk about this film festival.
Yes.
The kids who come to it should shoot a movie, any movie that they want. Like, they don't even have to submit, but they have to shoot a movie. And then, after they've learned all the things, they should shoot that same movie using whatever techniques they learned at the film festival this year.
Yeah.
And see how it changes. And then the next year, shoot the same movie again.
With new skills.
With new skills. But seriously, like, and watch, I mean, this would take time, obviously, but then watch how this story evolves, or like, I really wanted to tweak this story. And so over the course of several years, this kid who was, you know, 9 or 10 or 11 when they started, now they're 14, 15, 16. How has their movie changed as they've learned new skills along the way?
I think that would
be a cool thing if you had like that as part of each year. Like, these are our Tumbleweed alums. I don't know. I think that could be fun.
Yeah. You know, I think we're kind of starting to build that momentum a little bit with our kids' film competition. Because
I like it.
It's grades K through 8. And we open those submissions like out in September, year before. And we usually get roughly around 100-some-odd submissions throughout the state. And these are kids grades K through 8. There's a lot of high school film competitions. And kids in high school have more access at that point to maybe a film class. But you don't really have those. It's more rare in the elementary and middle schools.
Do you have one from Copper Hills High?
Copper Hills High.
Yeah, that's the West Jordan High School out on the west side. But they have a film department. And I think they submitted something to Zion.
They did.
They make little, like, films every year at the school.
Yeah, yeah.
So you and have heard of them.
I have. We're very familiar with all the programs. And what we really like to do with the film competition is we like to get kids who are really young and see what stories they're telling. And we had a submission this year from a kindergartner. It was hilarious story. Is it absolutely perfect? Is it Spielberg level? Absolutely not. But we had kids who submitted films last year. They submitted again this year. And I could tell the difference, like things that they had learned.
So yeah, you're already doing the thing.
The
yeah, see, I'm nice,
like,
and behind the times on
no.
my thoughts.
But I'm seeing, so I think some of that's starting to happen. It's starting to be embedded. And we're hoping that as the film competition, because it's only in its second year, keeps building momentum, that maybe we can see that evolution of a filmmaker. But I'm starting to see their stories are maybe stronger. Their camera work is a little bit cleaner. I can hear all the words that are being said in the movie a little bit better. That's a big challenge, you know, for young filmmakers. Really, any filmmakers, just making sure to.
Well, I heard it just fine while I was recording it.
Yeah, and then not so much when you're putting it into the editing software and all of those things. And so I think that as Tumbleweeds continues to accept these submissions, I'm hoping that we do get to see exactly what you just described, that really cool evolution of kids starting off maybe when they're quite young, and then by the time that they're in middle school, they already have so many skills that they've developed along the way to be able to, you know, grow their storytelling and their craft. And the cool thing is that if you do submit to the film competition, you become a finalist. We give you a free pass to the festival, and we give you free workshops to help you actually study your craft.
So there's some motivation to submit.
There is motivation.
Now, it's too late to submit
stuff
for this year, but for
this
next year.
It's too late.
Next year. At the 2041 Oscars, we're going to hear somebody thanking the Tumbleweeds Film Festival from when they were growing up.
Wouldn't that be
cool? For starting and sparking their love of movie making that led to this moment.
That would be probably icing on the cake if for that competition. That would be really, really cool. Or even if they just appreciated movies in a completely different way.
See, you're setting your sights a little more realistic.
Yeah, that would be great. if we get Utah Film Center and Tumbleweeds Film Festival thanked at a future awards ceremony, even better.
All right, well, let's talk about the other big guest presentation. Well, this is the one that I think is going to kind of wrap up as far as the guest presentations. Mm-hmm. I believe you have some workshops that happen even later after this. But
that's true.
This is JK Studios' live panel. Now,
Yes. They
came to FanX.
They did.
A few years ago.
They did.
And I remember people being surprised, like, wait, which celebrity is here that has this massive line? Because there was all kinds of Hollywood celebrities, too.
Yeah.
And I remember saying, it's Studio C.
Yes.
And they're like, what? I was like, you have no idea how popular these guys are.
They're very popular.
And they're funny.
Oh, and they're the best people ever. I've been talking to them a lot on the phone and email and, and Zoom, getting them prepared. But they are so much fun. And if you're not...
And they're called JK Studios now, just for people's clarification. Mm-hmm. They started at Studio C, which is on BYU TV.
Yep.
And at some point, they said, okay, we're going to start our own studio. They began JK Studios. Studio C still exists with a different cast.
Yes.
But now JK Studios has made two movies, I think. They made Go West, but I thought they said they made one the year before.
I think they may have. It was like a short film. And you're exactly right. So the original cast, remember the first cast of Studio C?
Jeremy,
Stacy, Mallory, Adam,
Whitney,
all of those. A lot of that cast is part of Studio C. And so about six of them are going to be at the festival. They're going to talk. There's about an hour-long panel. They're going to answer audience questions. They're going to talk a little bit about their work, how they work in a very collaborative environment to write their scripts for their films and to direct them and to act in them and to produce them, and how they work. You know, they use that teamwork to really make their work stronger. And so if your kids are a big fan of Studio C, I know my kids are. They loved them growing up. I always said, you know, Studio C for me, I was like, you know, it's like Saturday Night Live, but I'm okay with my kids watching it, you know? Yeah,
but funny and also funny. Clean.
Yeah, funny and clean. So if your kids are big Studio C fans, or if you as a family are big Studio C fans, probably if they're watching some of the older skits from Studio C, they've been so fun to work with. But we're excited to have them because they are going to talk a lot about just their process and answer audience questions, and hopefully the audience can, you know, get some great insights from them. They will be there for 1 hour for that panel. Currently, you may see, and for a very brief time, you know, surprise, surprise, they sold out, and we're very pleased with that because we're so glad that so many people are interested in seeing them. But we are going to open up and expand some tickets here later on this week. So check back to the website if you were like, oh, womp womp, we don't have any more tickets. We're probably going to move them to a larger space at the Viridian to be able to accommodate as many kids and families as we can.
Tumbleweedskids.org. is the place to go get all that information.
Yes.
And again, if you want to see Studio C, just keep checking, because even if it says sold out right now, odds are before we hit that date, there will be a time where the tickets will be available again. But
yes,
you're going to eventually run out of rooms that are big enough.
That's correct.
And there will be a point where it is sold out and it stays sold out.
That is correct. I mean, it's a lovely problem to have, but if you don't want to be turned away from any movie, any workshop, any special guest panel, I highly recommend going to the website. Even though those events are free, still reserve your spot, because we are going to take it on a reserved, people who've reserved their tickets go in first, and then anyone that walks up, if we have any seats left, we'll seat you. We're going to try to get everybody in, but keep in mind that having that reservation...
Tickets will be first priority.
Yes, tickets are first come, first serve. So if you any of these films that I mentioned, any of the workshops, anything that we've been talking about in way of special guests or interest you or pricked up your ears and you want to take the kids and the family, highly recommend in the next few days coming to the Tumbleweeds website, because tickets just keep getting less and less as the days progress and leading up to the festival. And we hope to see as many families as we can out there.
Julie Gale, Utah Film Center Education Director and the Tumbleweeds Film Festival Director. Anything else coming up from the Utah Film Center in the next while besides Tumbleweeds that we can look forward to?
Yes. We are so excited about our summer outdoor film series. So those of you who want to do a little fun night in the summer, weather permitting, we'll be out at Liberty Park this summer showing some film screenings. You can bring your pets, you can bring your kids, you can bring your picnic, and we're going to have a great collection of films out there too. And some of them will be family appropriate. So we are looking forward to that.
When does that start?
That's going to start in about June, and it'll run through about the beginning of August, so most of the summer.
Well, the Utah Film Center, we're grateful to have it. We're grateful that you're friends of the movie show. And Julie, grateful for your time to come today so we can get people excited about the Tumbleweeds Film Festival for Kids in my hometown of West Jordan. Julie, good luck with the festival. And
thank you so much for having us and supporting our festival.
You're welcome. All right. And thank you for listening to this movie show digital extra from KSL News Radio and KSL Podcasts.